May 3rd is communion service. That's today. May 9th is men's Christian growth fellowship at 10:15. Mother's Day is May 10th. May 13th is Wednesday's Union Missionary Bible Studies spring quarter corporate prayer service starting at 5:30 p.m. Doors open at 5 p.m. May 17th is Union Missionary Baptist Church 134th church anniversary. Our speaker will be Reverend Dr. Jerry L. Wilson, pastor of Salem Baptist Church in Champaign, Illinois. May 23rd is men's choir rehearsal at 11:30. May 30th is men's choir rehearsal and activity at 12:30. And May 31st is men will sing during morning announcements. Come one, come all. You are invited to Vacation Bible School, June 15th through June 19th here at Union. We are still having signups. Signups can begin or won't end until next Sunday, May 10th. Thank you from Sister Cynthia Johnson. Also, our 134th church anniversary is Building the Church Through Love, Matthew 22, 37 through 40, here at 1015 at Union Missionary Baptist Church. Your birthday announcements. Akira Codwell. Victoria Codwell. Latoya Dugan. Kevin Pierce. Mother Virginia Thompson. And Sister Kathy Gay Wilson. May God bless you and continue to bless you all. Thank you.
To say good morning to all everyone, to those that are inside, those that may be in the parking lot listening to us, God bless each and every one of you. And from the Union Missionary Baptist Church and our pastor, Dr. U.D. Williams, we welcome you to our morning service. We also congratulate all those that are having birthdays. At this time, those that can stand, we're going to ask you to stand as we repeat the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And our scripture reading is coming from Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. King James Version, it says, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Love God, love others. You may be seated. At this time, we will have a song from our choir. Thank you. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Amen. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Amen. Prepare your hearts and minds for our offering. But before we get there, Mother, will you please stand? There's people coming in loving on you, and you ain't seen everybody. So you can stand up and just turn around there for a little bit and see all the love that's in the room for you. Amen. Amen. Happy birthday to all the May birthday, and happy birthday to Mother. Amen. Amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. 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 We thank God for, I don't know if it'll make her happy, but it's offering time. I'll be happy if you put something in that offering plate. Amen. What a way to say happy birthday. Amen. 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 We thank God for each and one of you. So as we prepare for our offering, God loves us to give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured unto you. Luke 6:38. Amen. 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 At this time, we'll ask if everyone will please stand. Everyone, please stand before you hit that aisle. Let us bless the offering. Heavenly Father, we ask that you just bless the offering, bless the givers, receivers for your kingdom work. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Will you face the inner aisles? Come toward me. Go to the outer aisles and back to your seat. Amen. Thank you.
at this time we prepare our hearts and minds for prayer. Don't look at me funny when I say this, but let's pray for our president. Amen. Amen. He is our president. He's in the office of president. Let's pray for our governor officials. Let's pray for our sick and shut in. Let's pray for those who are traveling the highways and byways. Let us meditate as we listen to instrumental praise and allow our hearts to be prepared for prayer.
Who are able, I ask that you would stand with me as we petition the throne of mercy. We welcome God's Holy Spirit into this place, and as we go to the Lord in prayer, we know that He indeed intercedes on our behalf much more than I could ever do. Let's bow with me as we look to the Father. Father God, we come before your presence today with thanksgiving in our heart, Lord God, for your love, for your grace, and for your mercy, Lord God. From our very earliest existence, Lord. Father, we don't come to you today, dear Lord, just because everything is good, Lord. But we come before you today because you are good. And you've shown yourself to be good each and every day of our life. So for that, we say thank you, Lord. We want to thank you for the breath that you placed in our lungs, Lord God, where we are able to give you praise on today. We want to thank you for allowing us to rise this morning, dear Lord, in our right mind, Lord God, and put on these little rags we call clothes and come out to this place of worship together and just say, thank you, Lord, because it's by your grace, that we stand here today, oh Father. Oh God, we just come before you to say thank you, and we pray for your blessing and your presence in this place. We pray for every soul that's assembled here today, Lord God, that we might know you, dear Lord, that we might know your presence, Lord God, and that we might come just a little bit closer to you. We pray, Father God, for our pastor today, Dr. U.D. Williams, Lord God. We pray that you will continue to guide him, Lord God, and keep him in the hollow of your hands, Lord God. We pray for his family, Lord God, that you will just continue to be with them, dear Lord. Let your light shine in his heart. in his house, dear Lord, and in everything that you call him to do, that he might be a faithful servant and an example of your goodness throughout this world. Lord God, we thank you for this body of believers today, Lord God. We know beyond the shadow of a doubt, according to your word, that you've dispensed your Holy Spirit in us, dear Lord, to bring unity, to bring love. Dear Father, that we might be the lights of God, that you've called us to be in this world, Lord God. So we thank you for the power that you've given us today, Lord God, and we stand boldly to proclaim it, Lord God. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism, Lord God. We pray that you'll move right now, dear Father, to break down walls of separation, Lord God. We pray that you would move right now, dear Lord, that we might have strength in our body, dear Lord, to proclaim your goodness, dear Father. We pray that you eliminate all backbiting, Lord God. Eliminate all gossip. We pray in the name of Jesus that you will let love guide us in all that we do, oh Father. Oh God, we thank you, dear Father, for this community that you placed us in, Lord God. We pray that beyond these four walls that you will bless households, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that they may know, dear Lord, the word that will give them life, that will give them hope, Lord God. Oh God, we pray for those politicians who are sitting high. We pray for our president on today, Lord God. But Lord God, we not only pray for him, we pray for everyone whose hearts have aligned with some of the things that we see that's creating division in this world, Lord God. We pray that you will bring healing right now in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord God, that you will move throughout this world, Lord God, that your people, who you've empowered to be the voice of truth, the voice of love, that we might stand in boldness and in courage to proclaim what you've called us to do, Lord God. Oh, let us not lose hope, Father God. But we pray that in the hope that you've given us, that we might be the voice of reason in this world, Lord God. Father God, we pray that you'll work in our hearts and minds, Lord God, to know what to do. Oh God, as we look in the news, we see, dear Father, the protections that have been lifted, Lord God. We see that where people are trying to manipulate the system, Lord God, against those who are disenfranchised, Lord God. But oh God, we know that you are Father to the fatherless, Lord God. We know that you are Father of justice, a Father of love, and a Father of mercy. So God, we're not going to get discouraged because of that, but we're going to trust in you, Lord God, and put our hope in you as we do what you called us to do. Oh God, there are many needs in this place right now. And Father God, I would never be able to recite them all. So we're going to stand in the assurance that you know exactly what we need. And we pray in the name of Jesus that you would touch. For those who need healing in their body, Lord, touch. For those who need regulation in their mind, touch. For those who need a financial blessing, touch. For those who are mourning right now, touch. For those who celebrate your goodness today, touch, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we need a touch from you on today. And Lord God, let us know that we have been in your presence. Oh, God, we thank you and we praise you for the abundance of your mercy. It's in the mighty name of Christ Jesus that we pray. Let every heart say together, amen. Amen. You may be seated as I turn it over to the hands of our pastor, Dr. U.D. Williams.
Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you on this morning coming on in to worship and praise God with us. For God is truly worthy to be praised. As we know, truly this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in today. Amen. Amen. We want to thank God for our discipleship ministries, having conversation outside of morning worship. The goal is to be a disciple and to make disciples. Amen. Amen. And we are in the process of seeing biblically how to do that. I want to thank the women of our church, and we also had some guests with us on yesterday for coming out, and we've had a good showing and support of our discipleship ministry every first Saturday and second Saturday, but first Saturdays are for our women. So I just want to say thank you. I'm not going to fuss today. I reserve that for next Sunday. Amen. Thank y'all so much for coming on out and supporting our discipleship ministry. Amen. Let's give God a hand of praise for our women. Developing a personal relationship with God, it's two things. Make disciples, amen, and be a disciple of Jesus Christ. We have to live what we say, amen. To get more amens on that, we have to live what we say. We have to live Christ, amen, amen. Also, I want to say Wednesday, May 13th, is our corporate prayer. I'm requesting, asking, pleading, strongly shaking you. And asking you to come. Amen. Our leaders, especially our leaders, please come to our corporate prayer on May 13th at 5:30 p.m. Amen. 5:30 p.m. Asking all of our leaders, ministry leads to come. If you're not able to make it, please send someone from your ministry as a representative. Amen. Amen. Wednesday, May 13th. Amen. Amen. Want to keep in mind also, next week is Mother's Day, and then following Mother's Day, we have our church anniversary on May 17th. We'll be celebrating 134 years as Union Missionary Baptist Church. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. To God be the glory for that. Amen. Amen. We're going to go ahead. Isaac, if you can help me, we're going to have our meditation song to get us focused on the Word of God. As we look at Hebrews 11, around that sixth verse, I'm going to read a couple of verses after that. But if y'all can lift up a little chorus of a song, Andre Crouch wrote this, and it helps us, especially all the things going on, gas prices, almost $5. We need to understand that now our faith, it was working before, but we really need to turn on that faith in times like these. Amen? Amen. And this song really says in the chorus that Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there is no other. Jesus is the way. Oh, Jesus.
Jesus is the answer
for the world,
today.
Above him
there's no other.
Simply says Jesus is the way.
Jesus is the way.
Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. How many believe that Jesus?
Jesus is the answer.
Oh,
for the world today.
Above him
there's no other.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus is the way.
Turn that around one more time. Oh,
Jesus is the answer.
For
the world.
Look at your problems today. Look at your situation,
above
your circumstance.
No other.
Oh,
Jesus is. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus is the answer for the world today. Is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way.
Thank you, Praise Team Music Ministry. If you have your Bibles, if you please turn to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 verse 6. Start at verse 1. But Hebrews 11 verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6 is the focus. We're going to start at Hebrews, verse 1. King James Version is what I shall be reading from. If yours sounds a little bit different, that be the reason why. Hebrews, chapter 11, starting at verse 1, will be landing at the key verse, verse 6. It says it this way, my brothers and sisters. Watch this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which were seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaking. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, watch this, that he pleased God. This is what I want to work on today. Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible, help me somebody, to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I just want to simply say, draw near to God today. Draw near to God. You may be seated. Amen. Draw near. Draw near. Draw near to God. There are some things, if you walk with me just a few minutes, that I know in your life you're not going to tell me about, but there are some things you're really close to. There are some things that you have contact with. That there are some things that you are connected with that you are very, very near to. And all those things may be beneficial. Some of those may be hurtful. Those, you may not even know the result of those things in your life. But as the preacher stands before you this morning, I want to share with you that in Hebrews, there's a lesson for us that if we really want to please God, we have to draw near to God, and it takes faith to draw near to God. Can I tell you a secret? It's just between you and me. Can we have a conversation? It's just you and me here. Let's have a conversation. This world is messed up. There's some stuff going on in this world. It's confusing. And with that, I admit I got problems. You got problems. Everybody has problems. All of us are working with some stuff. And in the midst of these challenges and in the midst of these crises, there is a word that says we still need to please God. But the question is, how can we please God? In the midst of a world where we really don't understand the direction that the government is going. We don't understand the protections, and we don't understand the family structure. And there's a lot of things that in our eyes seem like they're getting worse than better. Still in the midst of it all, we are called to be disciples that please God. After all, didn't Jesus come from heaven? Incarnation, he came, the gospel story, he came in incarnation, God was divine, he came flesh, who is Jesus Christ in John chapter 1, and dwelt among us. And why did he come in flesh? To die for you and me, because all have sinned and fall short of the glorious standard of God, but there's still results. Even if you said, I make Jesus my choice, there's still some residue of sin in your life. You don't always walk where you're supposed to walk. You don't always say what you're supposed to say. You don't always think what you're supposed to think. So Jesus died to cover you with his blood. He died on Calvary's cross. They placed his body in the tomb, and by the power of God, he got up as an example that you can't do it by yourself, but under the influence of the power of God, you can please God. You can live a life that's pleasing to God. And how do you do that? Through faith. The Bible says, Hebrews 6, it says, and without faith, you heard it, it's what? Impossible to please him. For whoever will draw near to God must believe that he is this, and that he rewards those who seek him. What I'm trying to say is if you're serious about being a follower of Jesus Christ, if you're serious about this Christianity, you're not just a church attender. You're just not a Sunday school goer. You're not just going for social reasons, but you really real about this thing. You know that God is able. You know that Jesus is your Savior and that the Holy Spirit dwells with you and keeps you. True faith is the foundation for this relationship that we have with God, enabling us and allowing us to draw near to God
and trust his promises. Help me, somebody. We got to trust God. Oh, you got to look at yourself and your life and say, I got to trust you. Trust in the Lord. May have a diagnosis in your life from health reasons. You got to trust God. You got challenges in your life. You have to trust God. People acting funny in your life. You have to trust God. There's some goals that you had in your life and it's not just working out. Yeah, I'm going to say it again. You still have to trust God. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. Question is, though, why do I have to do that? Because I want to please God. I want God to be happy with me. And if you want God to be happy with you, brothers and sisters, you have to hold on to faith. You have to believe in who Jesus is. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You have to hold on to stuff you don't see, but you know that God is able and God is working it out. And in spite of you not seeing a solution or a way, you still know that God is able. Hebrews 2 said it's by faith. The writer of Hebrews is making that point. It's by faith that they retained a good report. They was talked good of. And if you want God to be pleased with you, regardless of where you are, what you're going through, you got to have faith. Look at somebody and say, you got to have faith. You got to have faith. Yeah. You want to please God? You have to have faith. Consider a child learning to ride a bike. It takes faith to trust the parents' guidance and the bike's stability. Don't be like me. I have a younger brother, and he still holds it against me. They asked me to teach him how to ride a bike. So I took him and put him on the bike, pushed and said, ride it. As any good big brother would do. Amen. I still would do it again. He didn't like it. But I learned something as I reflect on that, and he brings that up about every family event that we have. I understand his concern is because his big brother was not there to hold him steady while he was learning. I understand it. As I got caught up in myself, I got caught up, and I'm going to get this younger brother of mine. You always the baby getting stuff and getting that and stuff like that. They asked me to leave my Nintendo and come out here and teach you how to ride a bike. Here, get on the bike and ride. Don't look at me funny. You got some siblings and some folks. You just say, go on ahead. Learn how to do it. I got other stuff going on. But the key is that when the person is learning how to ride, you have to work with them in such a way that they can find the courage to keep on pushing, to keep on going. Because when you're learning to ride the bikes of life, you're going to fall. You're going to have some bruises, maybe even some stitches. Some stuff is going to happen. And in the relationship with God, it takes faith. And it's that trust that's connected to faith that empowers us to keep on moving forward, even when the path is uncertain. And watch this. Even when the person who is helping you is not really helping you. The book of Hebrews was written to encourage Jewish Christians, those who have been converted from Jewish Christianity, from the Jewish faith, and they are now Jewish Christians. And they were facing persecution because of this decision. And they had doubt because they were being crucified and punished for simply believing in the way. Believing in Jesus Christ. And could you imagine the stress of believing in Jesus and having to face consequences for that belief? Losing friends. Folk not talking to you. Not inviting you to parties anymore. Simply because you just made Jesus your choice. Here in the text, they were tempted to return to the old ways. Why? Because in their mind, the old way was easier. It was easier to go back to some of them ways. Can I encourage you to think about Jesus and who he is? Because if you think about them old ways too long, you're going to go on back to them old ways. Help me, somebody. I'm not saying, then admit, though, some of them old ways you like. Amen. Amen. But here the author reminds them who thought about going to the old ways of the importance of faith. That it is essential and is important to our Christian life. If we say we Christians, you can't be a Christian without faith. Hebrews 11 serves as a hall of fame for faith. I just read in verses 1 through 5, just a couple of people. Just a couple of people who were the list of the hall of fame of faith. And the point is, if you want to please God, you have to have faith. Brothers and sisters, we're guilty. I'm guilty. We're going to say we have a bologna sandwich, and there is no bologna. We ask, let me have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. There is no peanut butter. Going to have a salad without lettuce, without mayonnaise, without the condiment. We're saying that we're having something, but what we're presenting is not really what we say it is. And if we are presenting ourselves to God, we have to present ourselves as a person of faith. What you talking about? You're trusting in God and you have hope in God. But can I just say it U.D. Williams way? You just know that you 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 know that God is in control. Hebrews 11:6, we find a declaration here about faith. It's impossible to please God without it. First thing, I need to look at this is that the first point, and I squeeze this verse 6 of chapter 11 of Hebrew. Let me squeeze it just a little bit. It gets to us because it says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Isn't that what it says? So the first point is faith is not an option. It's necessary to please God. Faith is not an option. Now, I know somebody on this side, you don't have no problems. So I'm going to talk to this side. You're going through some stuff. In your life, you have to understand that it is impossible. It's impossible to have a healthy relationship with God if you don't trust Him. It's impossible to have a healthy relationship with God if you don't believe in Him. It is impossible to have a healthy relationship with God and not you complaining about what He's not doing if you don't have faith in who He is, that He exists and He is in full control. It is impossible to be pleasing unto God. You have to have that faith. And in this statement, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It highlights that faith is not just a component of the Christian life, but it is essential to the Christian life. God desires a relationship that is built on trust and reliance, not mere actions or rituals. It's good to pray. I love good prayer service. But prayer is not going to get you into heaven. Help me, somebody. Listen to me now. It's good to attend church. It's good to help somebody on the side of the road. It's good to see somebody asking for a dollar and you give them $5. It's good to do all that stuff. But that's not going to save you, and that's not going to please God if it's not out of the foundation of faith. Because you know what happens. You can tell what that roof is made out of, and those who put that house together, that when there's some storms and the winds start blowing. So can I ask you the question, as you go through the challenges of life and the storms of life, and life just beats up against your windows and there's some hail storms. Yeah. Y'all catch that. There's some hail storms going on in your life and things start beating in on your life. Where is your faith? Where is your trust in God? Romans 14:23 says, for whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. You got to move because of your faith. Not because you're trying to please people, not because it's a good thing to do, it's a good opportunity. You have to walk on faith because faith pleases God. This reinforces the idea that faith is the foundation to our actions and our righteous standing with God. You could be the best cook this side of heaven. That's not going to get you into heaven. You can show up to every program and fry some chicken, fish, make some spaghetti. Got the best casserole. But that ain't going to get you into heaven. So what I need you to do is understand that faith is not an option. Faith is necessary if you want to please God. If you want to have that righteous relationship with God and you want God smiling up on you and to be pleased with you, you have to have faith. And by you exercising that faith, as you read it, it says, verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it faith he being dead yet speaketh. Then verse 5, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and this is the point of pleasing God, and it was not found because God had translated him, transitioned him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that it pleased God. So then Paul is saying, without faith, you just can't please him, and that faith will cause actions and work in your life because you're operating on faith. Can I tell you something? Faith will move mountains. Faith will fix relationships. Faith will keep you from going crazy. Reflect on your daily life. Are you approaching God with faith? Are you approaching God with complaints? Are you approaching God with faith or because things are not going your way? But if you come to God with faith and say, I don't understand what's going on, Lord, but I still trust you. I'm going to stand right here and trust you. In spite of it all, God, I'm going to be right here and I'm going to trust in you. I don't see it all. I don't understand it all, but I have faith that you are in control. Are you relying on your own understanding? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Are you letting God lead your pathway because you trust him? We must actively cultivate a faith that seeks to please God in all aspects of our life. What a shame just to please God when we come to church. Ooh, got quiet on me. We want to please God. We want to act right when we get to church. Then the yes ma'ams and no sirs start in church. Then the dress that's presentable as a Christian is in church for some of us. There's certain tasks that need to be done and we act right in church. But if you have faith, it don't matter where you are. You're going to be the same disciple wherever you go. Trusting in God and doing all you can to make other disciples. The next thing, as I squeeze verse 6, the next thing is, but without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Says that God must believe, that coming to God must believe that he is, means that he exists. And the next thing I want to put in your spirit is faith requires knowing that God exists. Oh, that may seem simple. But some of us sometimes act like there's no God. Who is God? God is sovereign. God has all authority. God makes decisions. He can line up everything. God stepped out on space and said, let there be, and there was. In the beginning was God. God called the stars into existence. God told the grass to grow. God told everything to do. And without God, nothing that we see would exist. God is in control. And if you waver on the fact that God does not exist, then you really don't have true faith and your foundation is shaky. But faith requires belief that God exists, that he is the real deal, that he is alive and well, that he is our creator and our sustainer. And the reason why I say that is because some of us want to act like God. And what that means when you act like God, that means that you either forgot or you don't know that God exists. If you know that God exists, then you don't have to worry. If you know that God exists, depression not going to come by your house. If you know that God exists, you're not going to be a worrywart. Because the same God that kept you yesterday, he going to keep you today. Don't the Bible say trust in the Lord? Proverbs, come on now, fire. Trust in the Lord. I'm going to pepper with everything you have. Acknowledge him and he will direct your path. So you know who God is. Act like you know who God is. I didn't mind fighting coming up. I was a little booger bear. And I would fight even if I was by myself. But you know what? I really got a little arrogant and cocky when there was some folk with me. You ever seen somebody like that? They're really big and bad when they got their posse with them. They got friends with them. Come on, somebody. Chest get on out. Even stop pointing at folks. Stop bopping up and down and talking. Why? Because they got some folk. They got some folk with them. Help me, somebody. So then they can be big and bad because when they come, they're not just coming after you. They're coming after us. When they catch you by yourself, you talk a little bit different. You act like you have some sin. But as long as you got your posse with you, your family with you, you're real big and bad, and I ain't going to do this. Y'all can't tell me nothing. Hey, ain't that right? Yeah, that's right. When you got the peanut gallery with you. And you got to understand that when you have faith, when you have faith and you know that God exists, it does not matter what is going on in your life. Your faith gives you the confidence to stand against the evil ways of the devil, against the distractions of life and the things that's going on, that you don't have to act like you by yourself. Why? Because you're not. Because God exists. God is working his plan. God knows what's going on. All you have to do is have faith and trust him. You don't have to worry. You can have confidence and keep it stepping, keep it moving. Yes, you can get up and you can keep on going to work. Yes, you can get up and keep on putting gas in your car. Come on, somebody. You can get up and keep on going to the grocery store and paying $25 for a bag of Doritos. You can keep on doing it. Because you know your God is able. Oh, y'all not with me yet. Do you know that God is able, that he exists? Before we even knew what existence is, that he still is in control. Know that you know that God still sits high and he looks low upon us. He is the creator of this universe. He sent his only begotten son. Know this. And if you just caught what I said, you can adjust yourself, say, I'm all right now. Yeah. Yeah, you're all right now because you know that God exists and he has angels and he has the Holy Spirit and God has your back simply by having faith and knowing that he exists. That's what pleases God. Some of the worry that you have is because you don't acknowledge and act like you know your God exists. And if you know that your God exists, act like it. That means you're going to sleep real good. That means you're not going to be shaky about anything. You're not mean to nobody. You're just confident in your God. So faith requires belief in God's existence, that God exists. This verse says that we must believe that he exists. This belief is foundational. It's not just about believing in a higher power, but acknowledging the personal God who is involved in all of our lives. So that means you don't have to worry about anything. God is in your business. God is involved in your heartache, your pain, your happiness, whatever's going on. God is wrapped up all in it. Why? Because he exists. James 2:19, you believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. This verse reminds us that mere belief in God's existence is not enough. It must be demonstrated and accompanied by a trusting relationship in God that you act upon that faith with confidence. There's somebody in here. There's some stuff going on that you don't know about. Somebody know about in your life. Some circumstances that got you a little shaky. You're worried about. Know that God exists. Can I tell you what my God can do? My God can start storms. And my God can stop storms. My God can throw some swine in some water. My God can allow people to walk on water. And there is nothing they floating on. My God can take two fishes, King James Version, and five loaves of bread and feed over 5,000. So you can sit there and talk about what ain't going to happen and what can't be done. But I know my God, and I know he exists, and I know that my God is real. And that helps me please God. One more thing, then I'm through. Faith leads expectation of God's rewards. When I have faith, it leads that I'm going to get the rewards of God. Doesn't it say that? It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Now watch this last part that got me. That he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, look at this word diligently. That means that you are actively pursuing God. And it says there that he is a rewarder of people who actively, ooh, y'all, help me somebody, that actively seek him. So those who are part-timers, yeah, I'm talking about you. Those who just want to step in and step out, see you once a quarter, pray every now and then, fair weather Christians, whatever you want to say it is. God says in his word, I'm not saying he won't bless you, but I know who he will bless. It says that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, seek his word, seek who he is, knows that he exists, and follow what he says. If you actively seek God, he will reward you for actively seeking him. What does that mean, God? Do you want me to go? God, talk to God. Anybody just talk to God. Ain't no reason. Just say, hey, God, how you doing? And you know what the God we serve? He'll say, I'm doing fine. How are you? He'll talk back to you. He's God that knows who you are individually. He's everywhere at the same time. The only God that I know that'll be here in Illinois and Kentucky and Texas and Idaho all at the same time. I love this song. I love this hymn. Somebody over here know it? Pass me not. Oh, gentle Savior. Help me, elders. Here. This would snatch me. Wow. On others now. A calling. Oh, y'all gonna fool around, get happy up here. Do not pass. I know y'all omnipresent, but hear me today. I'm crying out to you, great Jehovah. I'm calling out to you, Almighty God. I know others are calling you, but don't pass me by. Somebody have some children in your house. Got some stuff going on. Don't pass me by. Somebody got some stuff going on at your job. Don't pass. Don't pass me by. Somebody ought to put their address at the hospital because you're there all the time. Don't pass. Pass me by. Some stuff going on. Pass me not. Oh, gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou are calling, do not pass me by. Can I stand there like the old deacon? I'm calling you. I'm calling you what? Savior. Oh, Savior, hear my. Y'all done fooled around, got me happy up in there. I done got happy, 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 happy. Because I know that God is going to reward me. So can I get in your business? What are you seeking today? If you really, truly believe, yeah, in God's rewards, what you got a frown on your face for? If you know that God is able, your priorities need to shift from worrying to praise. We should actively seek God in everything that we do. Why? Because God's presence keeps us in the midst of every day. He'll keep you while you're praying. He'll keep you while you worship. He'll keep you while you're serving. expect something from God, because when you diligently seek him, he activates himself in your life. You ought to praise him because he woke you up this morning. You ought to praise him because he touched you with the finger of the Lord. You ought to praise him simply because he's God. I don't need nothing else. He's already done enough. I gotta praise you already. You already done enough. And his rewards is better than a Walmart gift card. His rewards is better than going Chili's because it's your birthday. His rewards is better than $200 gift card from Amazon. His word reward is better than a new car. His reward is better than a new pair of shoes. Y'all, excuse me, because God is a good God. When I just hear the bird chirp, that is a reward. When I feel the wind blow, that is a reward. Y'all, excuse me, I got some stuff here, but I can't get to it because I just look at the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me. I got two words, thank you. Two words, thank you. Thank you. Y'all, excuse me, I got to put them together. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hey! Anybody gonna catch the thank yous? Just catch it with me. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You ought to catch the thank yous right now. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Don't fool around and thought about how he kept your children. Don't fool around and thought about how he kept your spouse, how he kept your house, how he kept your car, how you woke you up this morning. You better catch the thank yous. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hey! Watch this, what the scripture says. It says in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He is a rewarder of those who knows that he's existing. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So just take your hands and start grabbing your reward. God, I trust you. God, I know you're keeping me. Just reach out and grab it. I got my reward. I got my reward. Reach out and get it. So as we leave today, let us examine our faith and draw near to God because he's near to us. So are you trusting God with all? Are you trusting God fully? Are you seeking God with all your heart? And if you seek God with everything you have, he will reward you according to his will and his way. But you know what I say, I don't need nothing else. Bible said let everything that have breath. Bible said let everything that have breath. Bible said let everything that have breath. Praise the Lord. So it's just a praise party by me breathing in and breathing out. Breathing in and breathing out is reward enough. Because I got a testimony. I should have been dead, sleeping in my grave. But God's grace and mercy. Take time out to commit your life to a deeper faith, a deeper relationship with God. This thing is real. Not here for no show, theatrics. I'm here because my God brought me out. I'm here because he saved my soul. Let me quit.
I'm about to mess with Isaac. He hated when I do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Woke up this morning with my mind set on Jesus. Oh, woke up this morning with my mind yesterday. Oh, I woke up this morning with my mind set on Watch this one. Oh, ain't no harm to keep your mind. Ain't no harm to keep your mind. Say, give me some room. Ain't no harm to stay on Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Walking and talking with my mind. Oh, and they stay, stay on. Will you please stand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? You want to give your life to Jesus Christ, the one who came from divine, from spiritual to flesh, to die for your sins and for mine. I know that he exists, that Jesus is real because he performed miracles. Water into wine, touched a couple pieces of bread, a couple pieces of fish, and fed multitudes. My God performed miracles. Do you know what else he did? He went to Calvary's cross. They nailed the nails in his hands, put them in his feet, and he died for you and for me. But when he died, they put his dead body in the tomb. But by the power of God, he got up early Sunday morning with that resurrection power. If you believe that, if you know that, and have faith in that, and you have not confessed that publicly, we invite you to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister, right now? If there's one who does not have a church home, you can come at this time. You come down. Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? Oh, I woke up this morning with my mind stay. Oh, woke up this morning. Oh, stay. Is there one? Is there one? Oh, gee. Oh, woke up. You may be seated in the presence. Oh, and it stay. Hallelujah. God for his word. Draw near to him, he'll draw to you. If you want to please God, your Bible says that you have to have faith. If you want to please God, nothing else. You have to have that foundation of faith. Let us clear our minds. Let's clear our hearts as we prepare to commune together for the Lord's Supper to remember the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Let us prepare our hearts. Let us prepare our hearts for him. Brothers and sisters, if you are visiting today, if you have not received one of the elements, the cup of the elements, and you would like to receive them, can you just raise your hand right now? We'll make sure we get them to you. Amen. Amen. We have some. Raise them high so we can see. Amen. We have some on your left. On the left. Amen. We got one on here on the right. Can you raise your hand, sister, again? Amen. Amen. So we can see her. Any others who have missed, get the elements. Anyone who has not been served. You. all things. You, your Lord, have all been served. Oh, I just want to. Amen. We're coming. Dickens coming. Your Lord, you mean so, so good. You've been so good. Oh, you've been so, so good. Good, oh, I just want you, Lord. Anybody know this? You made a way. You made a way. Oh, you made a way. Oh, you made a way. Yeah. You love. This is my. Oh, you brought me beyond. Oh, you brought me out. Oh, you, last word I promise, but I done got happy. Oh, you say, my soul. Oh, you say,
from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. So reads the word of the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we ask thy blessings upon this bread that represents your body. And we ask thy blessing upon this fruit of the vine which represents thy blood. Father, we ask thy blessing on each and every one of us that partakes of this body and blood of the Lord. Father, we pray that you would just be with us, bless us, and keep us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
The Bible says that in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. That points us to a word called the incarnation, that God came in the form of Jesus in flesh. And in that flesh, he died for you and for me. A bull can't do it. Dove can't do it. Nobody could do it but Jesus atoned for our sins. As he came, he can identify with your pains, your emotions, your thoughts. Has anybody ever felt like you by yourself? Has anybody ever had any human ailments? You just had things going on as a human being. Well, Jesus came in flesh. He came as a human being just for you. He knows your pain. He knows what it's like to be threatened with sin. But he was sinless. He performed miracles that I've seen those miracles you and I may believe. And because of that, he ruffled some feathers. And by that, they put him on Calvary's cross, and he died for you and for me. He was placed in a tomb. You know the gospel story. And as he was there in the tomb, Friday night, all day Saturday, and early Sunday morning, he got up with the resurrection power of God. That is the gospel story. That's why we do this, in remembrance of what Christ has done for us. So as you reflect on your sins, you can simply say, like we say in our culture, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I don't know where I'd be. But because he's on my side and I believe that he died for me, I'm going to heaven. But you can't keep that to yourself. You got to make disciples. How do we do that? Tell the story. Tell the story. Tell the story. That Jesus, he died. He was buried. And he rose again for each and every one of us. Let us take, my brother and my sister, the bread represents the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us take it and partake together. Sing this with me one time. That's all I ask. Oh, at the cross. At the cross. At the cross. Where I first saw the light and the burden. Burden of my heart it rolled away. It was there. It was there. By faith I receive. I receive. May God's grace, may God's peace be with you. You are dismissed as you go tell God's story. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Go with God, go in peace.